Good evening and welcome, folks. This is Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator for the Peace Alliance, and we're still about a minute before the top of the hour, but there's a bunch of folks who have already joined us early, so I wanted to say hello and maybe give a couple of people a chance to say hi. Nancy, maybe before the call starts officially, I see Nancy Merritt is on. I'm sorry I didn't check in with you about this earlier, but would you be willing to give a Department of Peacebuilding update on this call, Nancy?
Sure.
Okay. Superb. I'll call on you in about 30 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. And see, we've got a lot of folks, 167 folks registered for this call. So it's going to be one of our biggest. So we've just got a minute before the top of the hour, and there are already dozens of people on. So rather than sort of picking and choosing, I'll just say welcome to you all, and know that a little bit later in the call, we want to have a lot of time to hear many of your voices, so we can look forward to that. It's now the top of the hour, so I'll say officially, welcome to the March field call for the Peace Alliance. My name is Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator. And I'm going to quickly go over the agenda for this call. We're very excited to have you here. And then I'll tell you a little bit about who the Peace Alliance is, if you're new to the Peace Alliance. Then I'm going to introduce Judy Kimmel, who's one of our wonderful board presidents, board chair people, excuse me. And Judy's going to go over some advocacy tips, talking about best practices for advocacy, in particular in these times or for any times. And then we're going to hear some dialogue between Judy and Geraldine Stapleton, who is the legislative lead on our leadership council. And then we want to really hear stories and or questions from many of you as are interested in sharing some of what has worked for you in your advocacy, in your activism. We want to hear what's been effective, what's been surprising, what may have been inspiring, and any questions that you might have for each other. So this is really a chance for you to connect with each other. Maybe you'll have questions for Judy or Geraldine or for me, others that have spoken before. So we're going to have some wide open time like that, maybe 20 to 25 minutes. We're going to have an update from the Department of Peacebuilding Committee, and then we're going to get into some action and practice. All of you who registered for this call as of about 15 minutes ago should have in your email inbox two things that were just sent to you. One is a one-page sheet on advocacy tips, and that's something that Judy and Geraldine are going to be referring to. And the other is a two-page action sheet with guidance for an action that we're requesting for you to take for the month of March. So if you have convenient access to your email and can grab that email and download those two attachments in the next little while, that could be handy for you to be looking on those things while we're talking about them. So once we go through a little bit of training on this action, which we're excited about sharing with you for the month of March, then if there are any more shares, if we have extra time to hear from folks in the field, we'll be happy to open up the lines to hear more from each of you about what's going on in your area currently or what any comments you have to further our discussion about effective advocacy. And then we'll close with a closing quote as usual. So that's our big plan for the night. And again, a very warm welcome to all of you. This is powerful work to many of us and has been for the existence of the Peace Alliance as long as we've been connected to it. And it's so great to see old friends' names on the list of folks on the dashboard. I wish you could all see how many folks are participating with us. Right now we're at 42. It's early in the call, but we'll see that might get even higher. So a little bit about the Peace Alliance before I pass it on to Judy. The Peace Alliance is an advocacy, education, and mobilization organization. Okay, I'll say that again. Our focuses are around advocacy, education, and mobilization. So we want folks in the world to know about peace building practices and policies. We also want to promote those peace building practices and policies, and we want to help you and people like you take action, to be involved, to make peace-building practices more present all over the world, from internationally to our own backyards to within our hearts and in our families and our lives. So that's sort of our purpose and what we do. And we do that in a variety of ways, but I could probably talk all night on that subject. I'll leave it at that, and for those of you who are new to us, I think you'll get more of an idea of who we are as the conversation goes on tonight. So for now, it's my great pleasure to introduce one of our board chair people, Judy Kimmel, who has been a wonderful, supportive, enthusiastic cheerleader and fellow traveler on this peace-building road for probably as long as the organization has existed, just about, I'd say, about 12 or 13 years. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you, Dan. It's a pleasure to be on tonight, and welcome to all those people all over the country, and I'm hoping that many of you will hop on, and just know we can't introduce you because we have a very full agenda tonight. I'm just thrilled and actually to be leading this section of the call this evening because I feel so strongly about it. Advocacy really does change the world, and I have seen it with my own eyes in my own local area and in Washington, D.C., and I know that it has ripple effects that go out throughout the globe. So I'm a huge, as Dan said, cheerleader for advocacy. And quite frankly, I have a lot of friends who ask me all the time, well, what's the right thing to do and how do you do it and how can you be most effective? And so I thought we'd spend this evening talking a little bit about that. It certainly is a hot topic, and I have to say that no matter how you feel about current politics, it has been a very busy, tumultuous time, and there's a lot happening out there in the world, and there are a lot of people who've gotten engaged in paying attention to our national discourse, and I do think that there's a huge silver lining in that, and that is that we are really reinvigorating our democracy. It's so heartening for me to hear and see my family and friends get as engaged as they currently are with the political process and for their desire and interest in really having a say and an impact in what's going on. So it's a hot topic. It's interesting. A couple of my friends and I went to a town hall meeting yesterday for our representative, Jared Huffman, here in Marin. And it was astonishing. I go to his town hall meetings all the time, and over the life of his tenure in the House, he started and I'd go to them and there'd be 20 people. And even last year I went to one and there was, 30 or 40 people there. Yesterday there were 2,000 people at the town hall meeting. I have never been to a town hall meeting with 2,000 people. So that's made my heart sing because it says that people are listening and they are interested. So I just wanted to start with that because I think we're all noticing that no matter where you are in the country, the people are engaged. You might not always agree with what your friends and family are saying, but they're definitely engaged, and I think that's a healthy thing in a democracy. I was thinking today about this call and looking back over my life and realizing, gosh, I've been engaged in politics all my life. One reason may be that I was born in Washington, D.C., and so I kind of grew up in the hotbed of politics. But I look back and I think, boy, there are a lot of ways that I have myself personally done advocacy, starting in the 60s, and I was kind of a flower child, and I literally did put daisies in the ends of shotguns or National Guard rifles. Then in the 80s, I worked with an organization called Beyond War, and their real message was about the nuclear war issue and the nuclear winter. And that organization decided to spread out and send people all over the country and do house parties. And so that was all about education. And we had dot charts and we had impact charts. And so we had a lot of house parties. And I hosted house parties. I led house parties. I trained people on how to do house parties. It was very powerful and very effective. And now we have a whole nother wave of social engagement, and things have changed because now we have social media, we have technology, we have computers. I mean, who could have thought that we would be where we are today? But anyway, so what I guess the point of my saying that is that advocacy works, and it works, whether you're putting daisies in the end of a rifle or you're doing house parties in your home or whatever you're doing it works, and it has worked, and it will continue to work. There are, however, a lot of different ways that you can do that, and we wanted to spend a little time today going over those different ways and giving you maybe some helpful hints on how to really be effective with your time and, you know, kind of getting a bigger boost for your buck, kind of in terms of the time that you invest and what you get out of it. But I wanted to first also reference our call last month, because last month we talked about advocacy as well, and we spent a lot of time on the context for it. And it's an important place to start, I think, because advocacy, one of the things I've learned anyway, personally, I can speak from my own personal experience, is that, you know, advocacy really is about walking your talk and being authentic and building rapport. And it really benefits from being connected and from really being interested in the other person, interested in learning the ideas, whether you agree or disagree, and then coming up with your own personal opinion, and then enrolling them in what you think your opinion is, which is to some degree about sales. So it's a multifaceted effort, but it's based in I think, empathy, understanding, and listening. If you can be a good listener, you can then say the right things to enhance the educational process of both you and the person you're dialoguing with or dealing with. So I just wanted to reemphasize that, because I think that's a really important context with which to look at all these different ways that we're going to talk about briefly that you can reach out and make your point of view known, either at the local level, at the state level, or at the national level. There are actually four main areas or ways you can advocate and reach out to your representatives and senators, whether at the state level or at the federal level. And there's basically the internet and all the things that we do every day when we're standing over our computer. There are calls that you can make over the phone and that technology. There's mail, actual U.S. mail that you can use to negotiate and convey your feelings to your representatives, and there are in-person visits. And I really list them in that order for a reason, because to some degree, the advocacy you do, the influence and the output you get from your advocacy is to some degree related to the amount of energy it takes to do it. So for example, if you go back to the first thing I mentioned, which was the internet, and all the myriad of emails and whatevers you get and requests you get online, no matter what your political persuasion, the first thing that people ask you to do on moveon.org or whatever is to sign a petition. Very valid to do. Oh, the other thing I want to make an important point. All these things are valid and important, and we should all continue to do all of them. But people often ask me, well, what really, you know, how does this really work? And so I wanted to just bring that a little clarity to that tonight. So for example, in the internet, you get online petitions. Then you get an opportunity sometimes with those emails to write a little comment. And then you might even, the most impactful way to use the internet is actually go to your representative's website, and often they have in the contact section, a blank place where you can actually write something into that office and into Washington, to that representative and to the senator. So just in those three things that I've mentioned, the petitions are noted, all of this is noted in a congressional or senatorial office, but they weigh them differently. So a petition is great, and it really is all about the numbers and how many millions, or did you get a million, or did you get 100,000, and they note that and are aware of that. But that probably doesn't have as much impact as if you went to your representative's or your senator's actual website and actually wrote them a note on that website. So just an important thing to kind of note, that the more intimate you get in all these different areas, the more weight they will give your communication. The next level, or the next very common opportunity, and one I encourage you all to do, is to call. And you've heard a lot about calling, and you've heard a lot about the impact of calling, and you've heard in the last month or so on the news and the media how congressmen and senators have been so overwhelmed they've had to get new phone systems, and you know, or they've turned their phones off because they're just too so overwhelmed. So phoning is clearly impactful and should be done. A couple things you may all know, and actually I also want to say that there are many people on this call that probably already know all this information, so you have to give us a little break today, but we're hoping to kind of give a primer tonight on advocacy. But the you can call, and you can call Washington. One of the things I've heard from some of my friends is I call Washington, and it rings and rings and rings, or nobody picks up. I advocate and suggest to my friends that they call the local offices, their home offices. I live in California in Marin County. Jared Huffman has three offices in the state. Call one of those local offices. Often when you do that, you actually get a real person. You don't get an answering machine. And then you can engage in a conversation, which is the most powerful of the call opportunities. The other thing I want to remind you about calling, which makes it even easier and better, is that I have a little campaign, personal campaign, to have everyone put your senator and your representative's phone number in your cell phone. That way, if you hear something on the news that day that you do or you don't like or you have an opinion about, it's very easy. It takes 15 seconds to dial that number on your cell phone and call in. So I think if everybody did that, we'd be amazed at how much more alacrity and quick response we'd get to issues as they come up. So I remind everybody to do that. I think it's I use it all the time, and I find it easy. I used to, you know, have it on a piece of paper somewhere in my notebook, and I have to go into my notebook and look for, oh, now where is that list of all the White House numbers and all that? Put them all in your phone. Then you have them. And as I said before, I recommend, particularly with your representatives, that you use their home office. Mail. Mail's great. One of the things that people don't know about mail is if you mail a letter to Washington, D.C., it takes about 6 weeks for that letter to get to your congressman or senator because they're vetted for anthrax and other chemical compounds. So mailing is great. Personal touch is great. Handwritten is better than typed. But mailing to Washington, you need to know, needs to be on a broader issue that isn't time sensitive because it won't probably get there. On the other hand, a postcard, they don't do that for. So postcards, which we've heard a lot about recently, and I think there's a campaign, the Ides of March, that's happening tomorrow. Postcards can be very effective. The more, once again, the more personal the postcard, the more impactful the postcard is. So, for example, if and we have done this in the Peace Alliance, in lobbying for the U.S. Department of Peace or peace building, when you get a generic postcard, it's great. Mail it in. It's very good. If you can write a handwritten comment on that generic, already formatted postcard, please do so. A fun thing that one congressman recommended to me once when I was in Washington is buy postcards of your local area. You know, I live, as I said, in San Francisco. Buy a Golden Gate Bridge. Buy a, the GGNRA, National Golden Gate Recreation Area postcard, and send that. It stands out. It's a little different. Write your note on the back, and you can be sure that it's going to get more attention than a myriad of other, you know, multiple postcards all kind of with the same. The more personal you can get it, the bigger the impact on the receiver's end. What else do I want to say about that? Oh, the other thing that does happen sometimes is form letters. An organization that has a cause might send you a form letter to do. Once again, print it out, do it, send it. If you can write a personal note on it, even better. So that's another, you know, avenue that you're going to see and hear and be approached about. Probably the biggest impact you can have is to get to know your representative and your senators. And that means visits, and that means either going to their town hall meetings, going to events where they're holding house parties or whatever, and certainly making appointments at their office, their local office, and of course, if you really can, go to Washington, D.C. Visits are impactful. They give you an opportunity to get to know not only the representative, but the staff. The staff, in many cases, are equally important in some ways as the senator or representative, particularly if you're promoting or against a certain piece of legislation. If you can be there in person and present information and dialogue on why you support or do not support that piece of legislation, it has a huge impact. Easy for us all to go to our local offices, and it's really worth it. I can't tell you how important it is to show up and be in dialogue with your representative, and if they are not there, get to know their staff. One of the things we do at the Peace Alliance that we're actually known for is we like to make those visits unique. So annually, if you've been around the Peace Alliance for a while, you'll know that around Mother's Day, we ask all our supporters throughout the country to go to their local district office, or if they're in Washington, Washington, D.C., of course, and take a pie. And the reason we do that is because we have this campaign called Peace Takes Wants a Piece of the Pie, meaning the pie being the federal budget or discretionary spending, and we have a pie chart that goes with it, and we drop off these pies, and we take a little sliver, which is barely aligned, quite frankly, in our discretionary budget, that represents what this country actually spends on peace and nonviolence issues. But the interesting thing about that is that we are now, in many offices throughout the country, known as the Pie People. And they know us, and they like us, and we feed them. So that has actually worked out really well. Doing something when you have a personal visit with a home office or in a Washington, D.C. office that makes it a little special, makes it a little different, always helps. We don't, like lobbyists on K Street, have a lot of money, but if you do something unusual or different, we get attention. Another thing I can remember that we've done over the years, multiple times actually, is have had a partnership with Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream, and we would put a briefing notice out to all the staff, either in the Senate or in the House of Representatives, saying we were going to have a briefing on a certain potential piece of legislation that was coming up for vote, like the Youth Promise Act, for example, and invite them down for the briefing, but also let them know that we were giving away free ice cream. Well, one of those times we did that, we had over 1,000 staffers and congressmen come down for the briefing, which is an unheard of number of people. And the deal was that they had to come down to the briefing room and had to listen to the briefing before they got their ice cream. So, you know, it's kind of you do whatever it takes to get them there, but so be creative and be engaged, and you'll be amazed at the kinds of results you'll get. Let's see. Myths. We said we were going to talk a little bit about myths. There are two myths that I hear, and I want to say that in the best sense of the word myths. There's some things that I see when I'm looking at individuality or, you know, a lot of these different organizations that are putting out information about lobbying. And one of them is, which is initially the premise is good, which is they say don't only call your congressmen and representatives. In other words, the importance of being a constituent. And, you know, you can't underline that enough. If you're a constituent, you get listened to. And so being a constituent is a powerful way to engage with your congressmen and senators, also on the state level. But also, I just wanted to remind people that you are also a national citizen, and in particularly in some recently in some of the politics and issues that have been happening in Washington, we've had issues at the committee level with bills or approvals for cabinet level positions. Those people and those jobs affect everybody in the country. They just don't affect the senator or the congressman that's in their particular district. And so you should feel free, if you feel like you feel strongly about a certain judiciary issue or a certain budget issue, to look up and contact the committee members on that committee as a citizen, and let them know your opinion. Also, another thing that people often don't think about is that if you have a business or if you have a summer property or if you have family members in another state where you have an identifiable address and a viable reason to have ownership of that area or business or whatever, you should use that to contact those representatives and senators. You are, in essence, a constituent in that area as well, and you are impacted by the things that are passed or not passed at the federal level involving everything from transportation to energy to coal mines to wind energy, whatever. So don't just think of your home as your only base of advocacy. If you have other options, you can use them. I've talked a lot now. I don't know whether I have more to say. I don't know whether I should stop here and give bring Geraldine in. Let me just say a couple more things. When you do communicate, these are just the basics. When you do communicate in any communication, of course, you want to leave, whether it's a phone call or an in-person meeting, obviously they know your name, they know your city and your zip code. If you're coming with regarding a specific piece of legislation or appropriations bill, make sure to have the number of the bill, whether it's Senate, which starts with S, or House, which starts with H, bill and bill number, so that they can reference it quickly. Make your statement simple and concise and clear so that the message comes through, particularly if you're doing the phone. You know, it doesn't have to be a long message. It just has to be, Judy, hi, this is Judy Kimmel. I'm a constituent. I live in Marin County, and I'm calling regards to bill, ba-da-da-da, and I would encourage you to vote against it or go vote for it. Let's see what else. I could go on about what to do when you're in an office meeting, but I think maybe I'll ask Geraldine if she wants to come on and join me. Dan, I'm not sure whether she's on the call or not, but if she is,
I've been here all along.
Hi, Geraldine. That's great.
Hi, I've been here all along. I was here
good,
at a quarter till. Yeah.
Oh, well, we missed you. Maybe had two green rooms. I don't know, but anyway, I'm glad you're here.
I've been on since the quarter till. Okay.
Yeah.
That said, we're kind of beyond Dan's time frame here, so I'm going to try to be brief. I'm assuming that I'm on. Dan, is that correct? Hello.
Yes, you're on. Yes. Carolyn.
Oh, okay.
You're on.
Yeah, I do apologize for the back noise because I'm at the next meeting that I need to be in shortly. So. Just briefly, my experience started first working on racial justice issues back coming like through the 60s up to then working with my union on unions issues and then joining now working on the Equal Rights Amendment, being on the first on the front lines with that, going back to college and becoming the ledge director for the student body at Cal State LA. And so I've been pretty active doing advocacy and legislative work for quite a while. A couple of things I want to point out quickly here, back up everything that Judy had to say, was that we do have in-district breaks from the House of Representatives from April 7th to April the 24th, and then there'll be another break from May 8th to May 15th. Now, during that time when your representatives are home in your home office, it would be good to set up meetings to do that then. And that gives you an opportunity not only to meet with the with your district and get acquainted with them, and also, you know, like with your representatives. When you go for a visit, it's a good idea to Google them. They all have bios, you know, like on congressional.gov. You can look up anything there. It will take you to, you can input the list of your representatives to find out who it is, or it, anything pertaining to any one of the pieces of legislation. In terms of making, doing your visit, okay, I teach how to lobby 101, so that's a whole other thing that we could do maybe on another national call, just to focus on that. But just a few pointers here in terms of, you know, like to do the research on your representative. So, you know, you can kind of walk in and get in, you know if they have children, know what their interests are, know which committees they participate on. It gives you like a better idea of what they're about and what they're interested in. Also, to ask them at the beginning of the meeting, you know, how what it was that brought them, you know, to do the work that they're doing. So it gives you kind of a chance to get to know one another, and before you actually go into, you know, the reason why you're visiting, and then come prepared with the bill number and the backup information on that. And it's also very important to stay positive, not to get into an argument or disagreement ever, which sometimes can take all the peace you can muster from inside. But if you don't know the answer to a question that they might have, rather than trying to guess at it or whatever, it's okay not to know everything. Just tell them that you will get back to them, you know, with the correct answer, rather than try to give them disinformation. That's not a good idea at all, and it will not foster them having trust in you and being able to trust the information that you're bringing them. And also, thank yous are extremely important. You know, it's not enough to tell them that you don't like this or you don't like that, but, you know, to also thank them for their good work and whatnot, because they don't hear much of that. Most of what they get with the phone calls and everything is all what people are complaining about day in and day out. And those phone calls, they do matter. They do count them, yeses and nos. And if they don't hear from folks, they think that you're not interested and that nobody cares, and they'll just go ahead and do whatever they want to. When they hear in large volumes people's opinions on something one way or the other, they have to pay attention. So they are important. And another thing that I think that we might think about is working in congressional teams, because constituents like really, really matter a lot. And I noticed like one of the things on our tips in terms of leaving them something like memorable. I have a friend that has those little, you know, the little candy canes that you get for Christmas, the little ones. And she always thinks, she always has them with her in her pocket. And so when she, before she leaves and says, you know, thank you, whatever, and she hands them a candy cane, she says, here, this is J for justice. And, you know, so that's one of those little memorable tidbits. And then just on a personal note, today I was invited to attend the first inaugural addresses on the status of women and girls that our Los Angeles mayor and first lady had today. And I ran into a lot of folks that I haven't seen for a little while, and some that I have, but and Nancy, you'll love this. The Violence Prevention Coalition of Greater Los Angeles has now come on board to support HR 1111. That's official. So those are good things that you can do, you know, like when you're out and about, you know, like doing your network. So anyway, I'll leave it at that, and I'll probably be leaving the call in about 10 minutes.
Carolyn, thank you so much. She's just a jewel and has helped us so much as an organization, and does so many things. I don't know how she keeps all the balls going, but anyway, thank you so much. not to mention the fact that she's president of now, or the National Organization for Women in California. She
California.
Just doesn't have enough to do. Yeah, California. No, but still, it's a big state. So anyway, you're amazing.
Hats. California now and a piece of life. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Geralyn. That's just great. So I think because I'm looking at the clock and time is going by, Dan, I might give this back to you, and then you could kind of lead us. I didn't go through. We have, or maybe you could just explain the resources that they got and the fact that they could go to the website and some of the things that are on our website that might be helpful in terms of advocacy. Are you there?
Sure. Yeah, can
sure.
you hear me?
Okay, great. So, and
okay.
I'll chime in and we have some sharing, I hope.
Yeah, please, I hope so too. So, as Judy said, on this advocacy tips sheet, there's some resources listed there. It directs you to a few different places at the bottom, including our website. Our website has got some great guidance on if you're going to plan a visit to your member of Congress's office. It's got some great tips. You can get a whole education there, but there's a lot of rich information. But I also want you to have a chance to get some rich information from each other, as I said. I know there are a lot of folks on this call who've done a lot of amazing advocacy and outreach, both in your communities and with your members of Congress, and in many cases with the professional media. So what I want to open this up to, sort of as a prompt, is if you have questions for Judy or Geralyn about anything that they've shared just now, or if you'd like to share some experience you had in your advocacy that you think was surprising or inspiring to you that you think might help folks who are newer on this call to get more of the feeling of what it's like to really either step into a phone call or a meeting with your member of Congress and what can happen there. Or if there's just some news in your part of the world around your peace-building life that you want to share with us, this is the time when that's available too. But primarily, around this advocacy work, if you have questions for Geralyn or Judy, or if there's something you want to share that you think might be inspiring from your experience, you can press 1 on your telephone keypad, and I'll see that as a raised hand, and then I'll unmute your mic. So just go ahead and press the number 1. I see you've got some hands going up. That's great. And I'll call on you and unmute you, and then you can let us know if you have a question or if there's an experience that you want to share. Let's see, where shall I start? I'm glad there's a bunch of ones going up. Let's start with Jennifer Lohrer. Jennifer, you're live.
Hi, I'm also a fellow Golden Eagle from Cal State LA, so hoo-ha! I wanted to ask, in the past when I have lobbied, we have gone in a group. We're not necessarily constituents in Washington, D.C. Do you encourage people to come in a larger group, let's say like 10 people? This is my large, right? A 10 people, or do you find that 2 people are as effective? Because in D.C., some of those offices are a little small, but the impact we want to be big. What's your view on this?
You know, that's a great, great question. I think you can have a huge impact of 2. I think you also, one time we went to Senator Boxer's office when we were having a conference, a national conference in Washington, and we had 87 people. Let me tell you, that was impactful. They didn't know what to do with us. So that's kind of, but that's the 2 extremes. I think it's important to like plan out your call and your visit. And have a lead speaker, and then you know, spend a little time beforehand introducing yourself. Certainly, probably the lead people should be, or the top 2 or 3 should be constituents if you have them. And then it's fine to have other people go with you, but if you have constituents in your group, probably they should be the primary speakers. And as I think Geralyn said, if you have a personal story, that always makes it more relevant in some ways. And also, if you start out with building a rapport and acknowledging the congressperson or the senator for something, look in their history, their voting history, and find something that you can find common ground with and acknowledge them for that. But I think it certainly doesn't hurt to show it with five or six, and it does bring attention to the meeting. And you need to let the office know you're coming with that many people. If you show up with 87, you'll need to let them know you're coming with a big group. But also, it just has a different feel when it's just one or two of you, and you can maybe in some ways make a real authentic personal plea. I don't know, Dan. Do you have other thoughts, or Geraldine?
That all sounds great to me. I think you covered it pretty well, Geraldine. Anything on your end? Geraldine may have had to leave us or mute herself. Okay. Thanks for the question, Jennifer. Did that you feel like you got what you needed from that?
Absolutely. I'm active, so I'm going to get some friends.
Awesome. Terrific. And, of course, feel free to, if any other questions come up that you don't see the answers to on the website, you can email us, dan@peacealliance.org. Judy, are you at peacealliance.org?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Thanks, Jennifer. Okay. Let's see. Next question. Let's see. Muting and unmuting. I see Nancy Merritt has a question or something to share. Nancy, go ahead. You're live.
Okay. Just two quick things in the realm of being unique. When the last time we were in Washington, we visited the office of Pat Simon, who's our Massachusetts coordinator. She couldn't be there. So we took her picture of her face and put it on a stick, and we said, okay, we're representing Pat. This is Pat on a stick, and she stayed there with us at the meeting the whole time. So that was the guy looked at
awesome.
Us a little funny at first, but then he got used to it. So
I love it.
And then. Second, in the realm of you do not have to just contact your own congressperson. I scheduled a meeting with Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson from Dallas, Texas, where I am definitely not from, and did some research on her, found out she's an amazing peace builder and has founded an amazing organization called World of Women for World Peace. We had a meeting with her person, and she had been a former co-sponsor of Department of Peace Building and hadn't signed back on last time. So after we got to know them, I asked her aide, why didn't she sign? Why did she wait to sign on? Was it because she had a problem with the bill, or was it because we hadn't visited her? And she said it's because she wanted to wait till this meeting when we visited. And then she signed back on immediately. And she also signed back on immediately this year. And when one of our folks took a letter to her office, her aide said, please tell Nancy Merritt that I'm signing back on again. So they do get to know you, and they do remember you. So those are just a couple of the stories.
Wow. Wonderful. Thank you, Nancy. I got chills. I bet I'm not the only one on this call who just got some chills. Thank you for that. Linda Curtis, go ahead. Your mic is open.
Yay. Thank you. I'm finding this call enormously useful. I think I know 50% of this and the other 50%, especially busting that myth, Judy, about only reaching out to your Congress people. I didn't know that, and that changes everything. but I'm curious about social media that wasn't mentioned as a reference point. And I'm just curious about how much, Facebook posts and things like that on a representative's site has impact. I mean, what does that count for? It's just a curiosity more than anything.
Thanks, Linda.
Linda, you caught me. Yeah, I actually have this on my notes because we didn't spend a lot of time on it. It is a new forum, and the stats on actually how they record all that and monitor all that, and now we've got tweets and everything else, is a little more cloudy. I certainly think, obviously, it's it's impactful and useful, and they pay attention to it, and our president is certainly having us all pay attention to tweets. So I think it's certainly relevant, and I think you, in terms of Facebook, for example, if you log on to an organization or an issue that you know that you support, that's it's valuable, and of course, linking to them and growing their database and network is very powerful. Also, if you write blogs and then can post the blogs on relevant sites that have a common value or interest with you, that's helpful as well. So I just don't think that there's as much statistics, and of course I'm not a millennial, so I'm not speaking with a huge amount of experience. Maybe Dan can speak to that a little more.
Well, I have another idea, actually. I see that Deborah Poss has her hand raised, and Deborah has been a very active field leader in the Atlanta, Georgia area for a while, and I've been impressed with Deborah's level of Facebook activity. It seems to me that Deborah has made Facebook friends with, it seems like, half the legislators and judges in the state of Georgia. So that's just my outside observation. And Deborah, I'm happy to unmute your mic, and I'm wondering if you're willing to talk a little bit about your experience connecting via social media with some of these legislators and judges and other folks that may be part of your circles. Oh, why is it not unmuting? There, you're unmuted. Deborah, are you with us?
Yes, thanks. Actually, I have three things I'd like to talk about. That's the first. I am Facebook friends with a lot, and I've had one that actually reached out to me and wished me happy birthday a couple of times. But then when I went into the Department of Peace building, I don't get those anymore. So this was just somebody who's a Democrat, a little more conservative. As far as I would say that I reach out to a lot more than I get responses from. But I think that, they don't always see it. So I will say that they don't always see it. But I do get responses. Gosh, I don't know how to say. First of all, we have a state group on Facebook. And then as far as reaching out to the members, because I've been doing it for a long time, first of all, I get more come my way through, connections with other people. But, I can pick out some, like a Judge Teske who based some programs, something in, I think it was Clayton County on the Youth Promise Act, and I really don't know the extent of that, but I found out when I was in D.C., I found out that he had testified before the committee about a week before. So I found him. I listened to his testimony. I found that, and then I found him, and so I became Facebook friends with him. And then, of course, members of Congress are easy to find. All you do is just type their names and some of them you can leave messages on, some you can't. And I've had some, if I can't get a lot of traction with the congressional staff, and sometimes I'll reach out on the on Facebook, and I might go directly to the member of Congress. But one thing I do is when they co-sponsor, I always thank them on Facebook through the message if I can. Okay, and sometimes I do get responses there. So I've gotten, more than a few members of Congress have replied that way. And then, let's see, how else do I do that? I couldn't get in touch with, there was a frequent sponsor of the Department of Peace Building who's not on yet, so I couldn't get in touch with the staffer. So I found the staffer on Facebook, and finally the staffer replied. She replied through email, but I let her know about it on Facebook, and that's when I actually got some reply. I wasn't getting reply over a regular email. So Facebook was got her attention. And, yeah, there's more than that. I mean, you know, locally, like Peace Builders, I'd say there's a lot more connection locally, as in like Facebook friends and like sheriffs and county commissioners and a lot of state legislatures. But there are, I've got, I don't know how many members of Congress I have. But yeah, it is, it's the way, one thing that's very, I think that can be effective, particularly on the state legislature level, is just in individual email or individual Facebook messages to the individual member. And if you want to let them know about a bill or something, that can be very effective. And in Congress, I try to go through the office as much as possible to actually reach out and ask them. But I do some of that. But yeah, I do reach out to them on Facebook too, more than just the Facebook.
I hate to interrupt you, but I think you said you had two other topics, and we're getting to the last 10 minutes of our call, which I want to do some training on the action. Can you tell us in like 30 seconds what those two topics are and just give us a quick idea of them? Because I do want to get to the action, do a little training. I'm sorry to cut you short. Can you do that?
The second one is, you know, if you've got a member of Congress, particularly if it's the member of Congress that introduced a bill and that member of Congress is visiting your city, attend the reception or attend the event. And I ended up attending a reception with Congresswoman Barbara Lee, and there were only like 10 of us there when I first got there, and I was right next to her. And we ended up in a conversation, and then I found out that she's changing the strategy and of how to reach out about this bill. This is going on the local, she's taking a local strategy, and there was president of the Atlanta City Council was there. It was in his law office. So she and the president of the City Council went through that. So that was really cool. We have new information. And so that's another one. And the third is, if you don't know, rather than call up and ask who to speak with for a staffer, like you don't know which staffer to speak with, find it on the internet. Search the member's name, and either staff director, legislative director, or policy director, and write it down. And then search their name. If their name is Mike Smith or something, or Carol Smith or something, try carol.smith@mail.house.gov, and web search that, and then you'll probably get her email address. And use that first, and then call. And after you've tried to connect a couple of times, then you might call and ask, you know, well, Carol Smith is not answering. Then who else might I speak with regarding this issue? And that helps them think of you as, like, more familiar because you know what you're doing. Those are the three.
Great. Those are rich stuff. Thank you, Deborah. And thanks for the question, Linda. We also, we now have a social media council lead. Her name is Allison, and you can reach her via allison@peacealliance.org. And it's spelled like it sounds. I think it's the most common spelling of Allison, A-L-L-I-S-O-N. Yeah, it is, at peacealliance.org, yeah, sure. If you want to continue that conversation. Yeah. So I'd like to move on to looking at our suggested or requested action for the month of March. And as I mentioned, that action sheet was sent to all the folks that were registered for this call about 15 minutes before the call. So if somebody has downloaded that, if you're looking at the action sheet for the month of March, and you're willing to maybe read a little bit of aloud for us, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. If you've got that in front of you, and you're willing to read a little bit of it aloud, please press 1 on your keypad, and that's where we'll start. If your hand was up before, I put all those hands down for questions and sharing. So please go ahead and press 1 if you've got the action sheet in front of you and you want to read aloud a little bit. There's a couple of ones. Okay, great. Marla Rosner?
Hi there.
Hi, thanks for volunteering.
Sure, I can read.
Okay, great.
Tell your senators you want to continue current funding. Oh, tell me what you want, yeah.
Okay, yeah, thanks. If you would read the heading, the first several lines, and the first paragraph, and then down below there are sections that are underlined. If you could just read the underlined part so we know the highlights.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell your senators you want to continue current funding for State Department and USAID in the 2018 budget. And there's the congressional switchboard number. Read the first paragraph.
Yes, please.
President Trump has proposed cutting State Department and USAID budgets by 37% from fiscal year 17 levels in his fiscal year 18 budget, while raising the military budget by $54 billion. These two agencies cultivate some of our most effective power to prevent deadly conflict and violent extremism while saving U.S. taxpayers countless millions of dollars due to the much lower cost of prevention compared to response. Keep going.
Well, now if you would go down below where it says some points for your consideration,
mm-hmm.
and just read the underlined parts just so people hear the section heads. Yeah.
Okay. Some points for your consideration, possible speaking. 1, diplomacy and development prevent and reduce violence. 2, civilian programs prevent terrorism. 3, effective development programs strengthen communities. 4, military leaders support a robust foreign affairs budget. 5, development and diplomacy are cost effective.
Great.
Those
perfect. Thank you.
Points.
Yeah. So the basic idea of this, as you've shared with us, is that there's a proposal for next year's budget that the State Department and USAID are going to have their budgets shrunk by 37%. And many of you who have been with us for years have participated in lobbying efforts to increase the budgets of particular peace-building entities within the State Department and USAID. There are a few things that we've targeted. But this is sort of a blanket budget cut, which we're concerned is going to affect some of our favorite programs. There are programs within the State Department and USAID that promote food security, that promote multi-party peace-building processes, that promote freedom of the press. So this is something we want to hang on to. And I'm wondering, thank you, Marla. I'm gonna mute you again and see if somebody else wants to step up. I'm wondering if somebody would be willing to role play a quick telephone conversation to your congressional office. We've given you the phone number. It's right there at the top of the action sheet in bold. Is anybody willing to just pretend you're calling your senator and letting them know that you care about the State Department and USAID budget and that you'd like to maintain the current funding levels. Don't let those entities be cut because diplomacy is so important. Go ahead and press 1 on your keypad if you're willing to do a quick role play. I promise I won't ask any really tough questions, and it'll probably help other people out a lot just to hear somebody giving it a try. So go ahead and press 1. On your keypad. If your hand was raised before, I put it down. So if you want to raise it again, please press 1. We'll see who wants to do a quick and probably really fun role play. Anyone? Oh, great. Thank you, Marla, for stepping up again.
All right.
I love you, Marla.
All right. I thought it sounded like you were kind of reaching for a volunteer there, so.
I was reaching, yeah. I love to start these role plays with ring, ring. If you're the caller, will you start by saying ring, ring, and I'll answer? And so
okay.
That the number, just to remind you, the number on your sheet is the General Congressional Switchboard. So do you know who your senators are, or do you know the name of one of them?
Feinstein.
I need to put you on the spot. Feinstein, great. So when I'm going to answer Congressional Switchboard, you're going to have to ask for Senator Feinstein's office, okay?
Okay.
So you can start with ring. Okay.
Ring, ring.
Congressional Switchboard,
ring,
how may
ring.
I help you?
Hi, Senator Feinstein's office, please.
Just a moment. I'll ring that number. Hello, this is Senator Feinstein's office. How may I help you?
Hi, I'm calling to register my concerns about potential budget cuts to the State Department and USAID in the 2018 budget. I'd like to go on record that even military leaders support a robust foreign affairs budget, and that those kind of diplomacy initiatives really offset our need to go into battle. So I feel this is really important. I'd like you to elevate my point of view to the senator, please.
Well, thank you so much for calling. I will be sure to pass along your position to the senator, and we appreciate your communicating with us. Great.
Thanks.
You did great. Yeah, super. So I like to do a little like self debrief. Is there anything that you did well there that you want to remember for when you actually make that call, just to underline it for yourself?
Well, I'm glad I had the sheet in front of me and picked one topic. I think I was short and to the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think those were okay things.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm open to feedback on how to enhance it.
Yeah. Is there anything that you would do differently? Looking back at what you did, maybe it was too much of a blur, too much adrenaline. But anything that you would do differently if you could?
Well, I'm wondering. The thing that I'm wondering is whether I should have just blurted to the first person that picked up the phone at the senator's office, or if I should have asked, are you the right person to talk to, or how I might have, targeted it better, maybe.
Gotcha. Okay. One piece of feedback I would give is it's pretty valuable to let them know that if you live in California, to let them know that you are a constituent.
So
it's good to say, you could say where you live. You could say I'm in Sacramento, or I'm in San Luis Obispo, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then as to your question, it's really up to you. You can say what you just said, it's perfectly to whoever answers the phone, and they'll register that information. If you plan to develop more of a relationship over time with this office, then and especially around a particular issue or set of issues, then probably pretty soon you'll want to know who's the foreign affairs person on the staff. The receptionist will take your opinion and they'll channel it to the right place, and it'll tick the box and it'll be accumulated and passed along. If you want to get more of a relationship developed with whoever that staff member is who's the staffer for the foreign affairs issues for international relations, then at some point you'll probably want to know who that is, and maybe right away. It's a personal choice if you want to try to connect with that person or just register your opinion. Yeah.
That's very useful. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Marla. I really appreciate your willingness and your effectiveness. Yeah. So we are actually, I see other hands going up, and I love that people have gotten warmed up and inspired by what's happened so far, but we're just 2 minutes past the top of the hour. So I want to pass along the mic back to Judy, and Judy is going to give us a closing quote. And after that, I'm going to open up all the lines so you can say goodnight to each other. There's one other thing that I'm going to share with y'all. I've been participating in the last few weeks with an ally of ours. Leo Wolfthal is the executive director of IAISH, which is an organization working to bring more empathetic negotiation skills into politics. And we've been doing this experiment around empathetic approaches to political crises, and actually recorded a couple of segments and are putting them on YouTube, and they're on IAISH's website. So after this call, at some point when the current installment of this experiment is ready, I'm going to share it with everybody who registered for this call. So you can look in for your inbox to see a little example of playing with an empathetic approach to advocacy. And this is particularly the one that we recorded yesterday, looking at this issue, the budget issue around the State Department and USAID. So I thought you might enjoy that. So again, over to you, Judy, for our closing quote. Thank you all so much for being with us. And after Judy's closing quote, I'll unmute everybody's mic so that you can all say goodnight to each other.
Thanks so much, Dan, and I love being on this call tonight and loved hearing all the different voices and loved the passion of the people on the call. And we will continue this dialogue next month. There's so much to cover. It's hard to fit anything into 1 hour, but it's late on the East Coast, I know, and so we want to bid you all good night and a warm. Hopefully you're not suffering from the blizzard back there. In any case, I have a quote tonight from Dr. Martin Luther King. I thought it was kind of apropos in the sense that we seem to be having an uprising in democracy in this country. So he says, everybody can be great because anybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love. Dr. Martin Luther King. So I think everyone on this call has an abundance of all of those things, and particularly enthusiasm to serve and to serve our country. And we are all doing that in a very proud and honoring way. So thank you all for being on the call tonight, and we'll have more of these and more discussion about how to be effective citizens in the United States.
Thanks, Judy. Thanks, everybody. Your lines are now all open, so you can say whatever you like, and we'll hopefully talk to you all next month.
Okay. Catch you, Benny.
Bye-bye.
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 To everyone.
Everybody. Now,
all we are saying is give peace a chance.
Yep.
Give peace a chance. Yeah.
Thanks, Marla. Your voice is great, Marla.
You're here.
Good night,
everyone.
Thank you.
Good night. There is no peace. Peace is the way.
Peace is the way.
Peace is the way.
Be public service.
Hi.
Marla should work for Peace Alliance. That was a great quote.